Hi guys, welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your co-host Erica.
And I'm Lucy.
And today we are talking about the operetta, one of my favorite episodes. This was actually the fifth of the second season of I Love Lucy. Is this one of the ones that was in that group of
105?
No, I mean that they recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So this one was aired on October 13th, 1952. Chorus written by Bob Carroll Jr., Madeline Pugh, and Jess Oppenheimer, and directed by Mark Daniels. The synopsis pretty much is the Ricardos and the Mertzes perform in an operetta for a club benefit, the Wednesday Afternoon Fine Arts League benefit. And Lucy, of course, is in charge of putting it together. But she kind of has a bit of a, you know, situation because she's the treasurer, and we'll see what happens when she can't really account for the money in the treasury. So,
yes.
Yeah. So before we do all of that, what are we drinking today?
I have a wine. I have a white Zinfandel. So to be fair, I pre-gamed and I had vodka. That's like my go-to drink, by the way, vodka mixed with things. So I had vodka.
Just everything.
And the like. Yeah. It's like the bubbly sparkling water mixed with that. It's really yummy. And I had that, and now I'm drinking a nice white Zinfandel. What about you?
I'm also doing something white. It's a Stella Rosa Moscato. So I did so much of a nerd I am when it comes to drinking. I had to Google to see what exactly I'm drinking. But it is really good. So it's a light alcohol. It's not anything crazy. I think it's more of a semi-sweet dinner wine is what I'm assuming it is, but it's really good. So it's a Stella Rose white rosé sort of drink. So it should be fun. It was nice to start it with this episode because I did bust into song throughout the entire episode, as you are wont to do.
I can't wait to hear you sing.
Oh my god.
I have the lyrics, so I'll sing and you can sing, or you can sing. I'll sing. Yes.
Drink.
We're not there yet. So first, you know what? Before we even get into this episode, I feel like we should mention that Paper Moon, I was gonna say we found Paper Moon, but Paper Moon found us.
Yeah, so as you know, anybody who Googles any sort of information for I Love Lucy, or maybe just Lucy O'Mall content, will come across this Tumblr page called Paper Moon Loves Lucy.
And we shouted them out a lot.
Yeah,
because that's where we go for our main source of information.
So it's a huge source. I mean, of course, we look at other things and just our own personal knowledge of the show and the episodes. But for a deep dive, that's the blog to go to. So we're looking forward to.
Yeah, it sounds like we might be able to have a discussion and put that up in a like October. So that'll be really exciting.
Looking forward to that.
But if we're jumping into this, apparently, according to the 1953 issue of Newsweek, this is the first episode that Lucy Arnaz was allowed to watch. Did you see that?
Oh, I did.
It would have been about 14 months. And I was like, wow, that's young. And then I went, pretty sure Apollo was watching it earlier than that. So
no, you have to start them young when it comes to I Love Lucy.
Oh yeah.
So we open up, of course, like we mentioned, with the Wednesday Afternoon Fine Arts League meeting in the Ricardo apartment, and they're very excited discussing this operetta benefit they're putting together. And you know, Lucy's the club treasurer, but during the club election in the next season, she acts like she's never been a treasurer, or says, you know, I wouldn't be treasurer if you handed it to me on a silver platter. Remember when she was sort of.
Yeah, I was going to say, to be elected. Fair, she said that, right? She said, like, I wouldn't be treasurer.
Yeah, because she was trying.
But I was like, either she's downplaying not getting anything,
right?
Or she hated the job so much and knows that they probably wouldn't give it back to her after this, you know? That
she's not too good at the treasury.
Yeah, they probably won't ever let her be treasurer again. So there's that. But all these women, they're all, I mean, the scene starts right with all these women just leaving. It's like the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
They're leaving. And Ethel comes in once they left and kind of goes, she's a little late. Yeah, she's very late. I don't know what she was doing. She was busy drinking. Probably not. But she was busy. And so Lucy kind of catches her up on the fact that she's got problems.
She does not have a hold of the household, well, of the treasury account.
I was going to say the household and the treasury.
Oh, yes, so combined.
She explains to Ethel that they're going to do an apparetta. And this apparetta is going to be funded by the some 200 and some dollars that are in the treasury.
246 was the last.
Okay.
Count. Yeah.
Wonderful. Except that there is nothing in the bank account. And the reason why is because Lucy, how many years ago did she say it was? Did she say it was one?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if it was a couple of years ago. Yeah,
she started. I remember hearing it and going, I'm surprised she stayed treasurer this long.
Maybe they didn't put together any sort of things and just sort of, you know, donated maybe to the treasury,
right?
Or kept depositing into it.
But, or something this big.
Right.
But she was like, you know, I borrowed $10 here and then I had to pay back the household account. So I borrowed from the household account to pay back this account. And somewhere along the line, I just lost all the money. It's just very bad. I don't know why anyone lets her in charge of any sort of money.
Yes. And of course, she mentions that, you know, the reason she wanted to put money from the treasury to the household is to balance her books and show Ricky, because she can't manage either of them. We've learned this throughout all of the seasons. We will learn how bad she is at managing money. And so she points out that she doesn't get her money until the first of the month, but the operator is on the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ethel kind of suggests, you know, an advance from Ricky. And here again, I make this, and we should probably keep track of how often we mention this, but she says, no, I don't look good in stripes. And then she's, you know, and then he mentions, why don't you ask Ricky for an advance? I don't look good in black and blue either, which is again, another physical violence.
Just going to get beat up if she asks for an advance. Okay, cool. I wanted to say that Ethel is like such a good friend. I mean, she doesn't judge her at all for taking the money.
Oh, yeah.
$246 or whatever. She doesn't say anything. She's just like, all right, what's the plan?
Yeah, you know? Well, she's probably like, used to it.
I feel like
by now.
Still, I feel like I'd be like, listen, you need to find a way to pay back this money, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what she, you know, she kind of, you know, then alludes to, then here's the plan. We can save money on the royalty fees by writing the play ourselves. You know, she starts going into
like,
and then she says, Ethel Romberg and Lucy Frimmel. That's who. I think those are references to Sigmund Romberg. He's a composer of The Student Prince, The Desert Song, and other operettas. And Rudolf Frimmel, he's a composer of Rosemary and The Vagabond King and other operettas. So, yeah, she says, we will be the writers of this play, of this operetta. You know, that
takes I'm not at all saying it's easy to write a play. It takes so much to write a play.
That's a lot. I mean,
definitely a musical.
Now, in this, she's written plays. She's written novels. You know, she's written other things. And so,
listen, the novel wasn't great. The play wasn't great. So,
but is it The Perils of Pamela? And a tree grows in Havana.
Yes.
So that's where that goes. And so they're trying to figure out who's going to be the lead. And of course, as always, the default is Ricky. And none other than.
Oh, well, to be fair, she offers the lead for the woman's role to Ethel.
Yes.
At the beginning, to get Ethel to agree to this plan, right? And then you're right when she says, okay, we'll find someone to sing for free, and that'll be Ricky.
John Charles Picardo.
She's writing this play, this music, this operetta, and Ethel isn't there yet, but she comes in quite quickly. She's like, you know what? I'm sorry for being late. I don't know. She had, again, she's late. What's she doing? but Lucy's like, you know, it's fine. I've been working on this. but listen, there's something I need to talk to you about. And that's the leading role. She goes, you know, if Ricky's playing the lead male, then it just makes sense for me to play the lead female.
And she's like, no, you said I could be the princess. No, I have a better role for you, Camille, which sounds nice.
It sounds wonderful. She's like, oh, Camille, who's that?
The snaggletooth queen of the gypsies. So yes. She's just like, no. And of course, it goes into, all right, let's see who can hold the tune to be the lead singer here. And they do the whole, you know, competition. She taps the pianos and Ethel, of course, because Vivian is a trained, beautiful operatic singer.
Yes.
She sounds lovely. And Lucy comes in and does not sound lovely and ends up singing Working on the Railroad. And so, of course, she's like, okay, where do I go get my teeth snaggled?
I can't remember what I was going to say.
Well, she explains the whole plot. She tells her that the name thing is the Pleasant Peasant. Now, the plot is hilarious. So according to her description, the description of the show is there are two acts with 18 scenes in the first act alone. The plot involves Lily, that's Ethel's character, being kidnapped by the highwaymen because their leader had been turned into a frog by a wicked witch. Lily is really the frog, the leader's long-lost sister, separated from him when they were tadpoles. Later, the prince, who he thinks is a peasant but is really a frog, goes to work for Squire Quinn at the inn on the River Out. How easy is that to follow? It's very easy.
I'm sorry. It's very easy.
And she's like,
my
what?
Goodness.
Yes. And she's like, that's just the first act of how many acts? There's 18 scenes in the first act. I mean, how much time did she have to write all of this? Because it was literally like the next day.
So how much time did she think they'd have to perform this?
And so,
I mean,
yeah, they
to be fair, the songs aren't horribly long.
Yeah. So Fred will be playing Squire Quinn, who's works at the inn on the River Out.
Yes. Well, so, okay. So, this is what I was going to say. She was talking to Ethel. She's talking through this, right? And she's like, you're the main character. I'm, you know, the gypsy queen, apparently. And Ricky is the good Prince Lancelot. And he's going to fall madly in love with you. I love when she stops and she looks at Ethel. She'll say, that'll take some acting.
She's like, never mind.
And then, Ricky he starts going through this, you know, the whole I am the good Prince Lancelot, I liked whatever that whole song.
and cheesy.
Yeah, he's like blah blah blah, and Lucy's like, these are good words, you need to sing them. And he goes, good words. Who wrote Dance this?
Out.
She's like, have Dance you heard of lot. Victor Herbert? And he goes, yeah. And she's like, okay, let's go. So she doesn't really say that he wrote it, but no. She's just like, oh, good, you've heard of him. Okay,
that's
good.
That's
implying that right. He was considered the father of American operetta. He wrote 43 musicals. Some of them include Babes in Toyland and Naughty Marietta in 1910. It's a funny scene. And while they're talking and he goes back to singing, this is when Fred walks in.
Yes. And he's dressed like a Greek god or a Roman god or something. He's
got
like
this Greek wearing.
Like, what is that? What they chose? Well, they sent a bunch of things. Now, prior to this, though, Lucy points out that she wrote a check from the club treasury for all of this, for the set, for the costumes, for the sceneries, for all of this. So she lets them know, and Ethel's concerned, like, wait, there's no money in the club treasury. She's like, well, I post-dated it for the day after, and there'll be tons of money in there because of the audience and all of that.
Right. Tons of money.
Yeah, they never really did point out how this show was marketed or advertised and how these people knew to come and pay, but let's just assume they did, clearly.
Right. To be fair, we don't know when this meeting is. We just know that it's the 25th, right? So it could have been, the meeting could have been held on like the 1st, mm-hmm. and they could have had 25 days to
That's true.
Get everything ready. I don't know, because you were thinking like,
I'm assuming it's the next day. And it's
it's like they have to, she has to write it, they have to practice it,
they have to get
all the sets made. But anyways, I mean, that so the first part of it is it's a very small part of the whole episode. Most of the episode is the play.
Oh yes.
What happens after. So we go to the play and we get that that woman?
No, wait, you're missing the part where after Fred comes in with the Greek outfit, then, you know, she goes down to figure out, and then Ricky and Ethel are both very concerned about Lucy's singing ability. And she's like, you guys keep going, keep practicing. Yes, Mrs. DeMille, which of course is a reference to Cecil B. DeMille, who was played a big part in Lucille Ball's career as she was starting up. And in 1951, he wanted Lucy for the circus themed movie, The Greatest Show on Earth, but she was pregnant at the time. So she, you know, they went to Gloria Graham. And she then later in 1979 received the Cecil B. DeMille Award. So that's what the reference is there, because he was a big, huge, you know, film director early on in the old Hollywood days. So that's what she says that. Now they have this conversation, are very concerned about her singing abilities. And, you know, and I love that he says, you know, I love Lucy. Like, he needs to preface it with.
Of course. Like, listen, I do love her.
But, you know, once in a while she hits a bad tune. And Ethel's like,
once in a while. And he's like, oh, you noticed. Yes. So Ethel's plan is to get the women to sing whenever she's supposed to singing.
Anytime she opens her mouth.
Lucy will never be able to be singing alone.
Right. That's the best. So now we cut to the opening, the MC. She just has her face popping through the curtains because she has her costume on. So, you know, she's very cute about it. And she says she doesn't want to come out because she's got her costume on, and she's kind of introducing everybody, or not everybody, but introducing the play.
First of all, Quinn's Inn looks, the sign for the inn looks so much like the Salvation Army sign.
Oh, I never noticed that.
Yeah, I'll have to put it like, see if, well, it's what I remember the Salvation Army sign to look like. So maybe it looks nothing like it. But when I saw it, I went, wow, that looks so similar. So I'll have to put them side to side and see. So the first song is We're the Pleasant Peasant Girls.
Yes, which... all the songs were written by the composer Elliot Daniel, who wrote the show's theme song, the I Love Lucy theme song. And he also did the musical numbers for your favorite episode.
Are better than one.
Lucy Goes to Scotland, season 5, episode 17. So he does, you know, all the composing for all these songs. And the songs, just to list them off as we go, is The Pleasant Peasant Girls, The Good Squire Quinn, Lily of the Valley, Queen of the Gypsies, The Troops of the King, and Good Prince Lancelot.
I didn't write any of, like, I wrote some of the lyrics for some of the songs, but not the Pleasant Peasant Girls, because in all honesty, some of them were really good. This one just kind of sounded like squawking to me.
It was a bunch of women. Happy
Pleasant Peasant. Yes, it wasn't great, in my opinion.
That's all I can remember in my head. But yeah, so then I think after that is when Fred comes in, Squire Quinn. Yes,
Squire Quinn on the
River Out.
Yes.
There's a lot of plays on words here, which works very well.
So many. But he does talk about, you know, lots of the ales and stouts are on my shelf and I take a drop or two myself. We've talked about this, but like, there's a few things that come up that are like real in Lucy's life again, right? And that we talk about. And one of them is that Fred was a big drinker.
William Frawley
was a big drinker. And Desi Arnaz, you know, he vouched for him and said, you know, don't miss work because of this. If you do, you know, you're out. And he never did.
So and then we've got, after he's done singing, is, you know, all the women go off with Squire Quinn. And then Ethel comes in with the braids and, you know, the blonde hair. I do love long hair on Vivian. I she's only done it a couple of times in the show, you know, the wigs, but I do love the look. It makes her look younger. I really like it. She looks really cute.
She does. You want to sing this one since you're so good at singing?
I'm not the one.
Go ahead.
I'm the Lucy of the...
You're going to sing the Lucy one? I am the queen of the gypsy.
And then you're going to come in and kind of drown me out. So no one hears me. She's Lily of the Valley, as she says, of the quiet, peaceful valley over there.
She points, I love that.
And then she's all demure.
I'm so lonely, oh so lonely, and nobody in the valley seems to care. And then I love this one because she's doing this da 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 da, and then she goes, "Tell them not to dilly dally."
Billy of the Valley.
Valley. Yeah, it's yeah, very
rock star.
What is that? Bluesy? Yeah.
Yeah, sort of a raspy, just, you know, she kicks her leg up and yes, you know, lifts up her skirt a little.
That. I love that.
It's so good. It's really, really well done there. And then she goes back to being demure after she does that. And, you know, she's waiting.
I must go on. I guess yeah. I'll go home, you know.
So Ethel's Lily of the Valley costume, the blonde pigtails, are a parody of silent film star Mary Pickford. That's the look that they were going off. So after she's done doing the Lily of the Valley song, then Queen of the Gypsies comes up.
Yes, go ahead.
So she's got the, oh gosh. What is tambourine. The tambourine?
Oh
she's
my.
Got the tambourine. Now she's got the smoke that comes up behind her, but it's not really behind the little like a chimney thing that she pops out of, but it's really behind like a wall, the set.
Yeah.
And you know, she's the, Queen of the Gypsies, gypsies. And what I love is that she starts to sing, and of course, all the women join in, which I love. Not just that they're joining in, but the fact that they all have a straight yeah,
they and all they have do that too.
Straight faces, yes. Like their faces like
fully
serious, just yes. Real serious. And Lucy's face every time she says, "I took the win," and then as soon as she does that, then they all just
oh yeah, because well she does that, and then she does that. What? I took the wing of the owl and the eye of the yak.
Eye of the yak.
The lost brown tooth of the alley cat. I put them in a pot.
And what do you think I got? What do you think I got? What do you think I got?
And she's like, all right.
That's enough. I'll just tell you.
Gosh.
Oh, no, that's so good because she's just getting so mad. She gets startled. I mean, she just, Lucille Ball does this so well. The physical comedy here.
Oh,
excellent.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
It's so good. So she's like, come sit over here. But what I love is that she goes out of character because she's annoyed. So she goes into Lucy Ricardo. All right. Listen, I'll do it myself. Okay. I'll just tell you. And then she goes back and says, come here, right little back. Girl. Sit down. Yes. And so she
must never get married. Whatever.
It will never work out. And then of course Lily's all depressed about it. You know, first she's excited because her prince is coming. Then she's upset because it's not gonna work. So she's kind of giving her a fortune telling, if you will, as to why they shouldn't get married. And then is this where we get Prince Lancelot coming in?
No, this is the we are the troops of the king.
Oh yes.
We only drink to one thing. We like drink. And then they keep doing that. And every time, so it's like one of those warming exercises that you do in choruses where you go up half an octave each mm-hmm. time you sing. And Lucy's like just ready to be done, right? So every single time she's going to like take a drink
to her lips each time.
Yeah, and finally she's like, "All right, I'm just gonna drink," and she's drinking while they're singing. And I think that's so funny too.
That's hilarious. That's really, really funny. And so she, you know, she drinks. Everyone kind of disperses a bit, and this is where Prince Lancelot comes in. So he's
I am the good Prince Lancelot. I love to sing and dance a lot. I have an eye for a pretty face. I love the girls, but it's no disgrace. Then he literally says there's Mercedes, Rosaline, Betty and Sue, Dorothy, Janice, and Sweet Mary Lou, Audrey, Baby, B-E-B-B, whatever, and Anastelle.
But that's
and all of those, but none of that, that's all over with now.
So my husband was watching this with me, and he says, because he's listing off all these names, he says, so pretty much the entire premise of this is Ricky's always, there's always other women involved, whether it's Desi Arnaz, the actor, Ricky Ricardo, the character, or Prince Lancelot, the other character.
See, that's what I was going to say. So there was the drinking for Fred, or this innkeeper, and then William Frawley, and then there's the many, many women. And then there's that whole, you know, all I want is you, Lily.
Yeah.
And then, but you think, you know, you probably said something very similar to Lucy. It's like, oh, I'm done.
Those don't mean anything.
You know, those don't mean anything.
And if you read it's any of the autobiography, a lot of that rings true. So I'll always say
just
this.
Just taking from her real life, right?
I'm just wondering why everyone was just okay, because it was no secret. And it's just... I know we're looking into it. It's just a show, but this is what we do. We kind of, you know, merge the two as to what was going on in their real life plus here. And yeah, there's a lot of reference to that. So yeah, she's, you know, they are what, engaged? I don't know. They're ready to get married.
They're getting married. They're right literally away. Getting married when the repo men come in. Which this is just the funniest. Of all of them. So before the men come in,
I'd like
there's
a word with you.
And then she goes, go away. It's not your kill. And then they keep going. And then she talks about the checks. And this is where she goes, it bounced. And then she does this whole, she goes on. She goes, and then what Lucy goes, it came back.
Right.
yeah, it was posted. I know that.
What do we do? Tell them to wait a minute.
They won't do it. We'll this is my favorite part. Stop it. She like pushes her.
And she's still smiling because she's trying to stay in character. The other woman is.
We'll take a stab at it.
It bounced.
He was having way too much fun it telling her about.
I love that. That's
I know that.
What do we do? Oh my gosh! Sorry, guys. Listen. We incorporated this alcohol. This is what happens. Operettas, alcohol. I love Lucy. It's.
I mean, listen. Times. We're gonna do.
Maybe. Oh boy. And so
anyways,
course, they still so attempt to do the wedding, which is hilarious because
yes,
behind them the sets are being ripped apart, pants are being taken off,
there are women Ricky. In their undergarments,
I do declare,
which I was like, well no, now it's nothing, right? Now that's like okay,
they're ripping clothes
but to be honest women, like at that costume. Time that was kind of surprising to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that there were women just in their undergarments with no costumes on. I don't know why it didn't seem as weird for Ricky to be having his pants pulled off, but
because we've seen him in these shorts. I think if you remember, there's an episode where he's teasing Lucy about not having a thing to wear. And so he comes out of the closet.
Yes, I don't have a thing to wear.
Right. And so he's got this top hat, a tie, and then these undergarment shorts. Undergarment, so I think it's, he's been known to, you know, walk around.
Well, and it's, I think it's also different for men. You know, men can have less clothes on.
Right. So they're taking the set apart, you know, things are being ripped to shreds and because the check, as we heard, bounced. And so they're taking everything back. And as this is happening, Lucy sees an opportunity and runs with it.
Sing her gypsy song again, alone, right?
This is my chance. This is, you know, everything's, you know, going to heck anyway. So let's just keep going. And so she, of course, busts out in song, and that's the end of it. But
Yes, this is such a good episode. I do want to say that, so like members of this Fine Arts League, it's the Wednesday Afternoon Fine Arts League, which is really mouthful. It's
who never meets on group. Wednesday, by the way. I think we established that later on. They never meet on Wednesday because no one's available.
No one's available. But they're most likely they were cast for their singing ability so that they could do this operetta, right?
Because we never see them again.
Yes. It's Myra Marsha, she's the chairwoman. She's the woman who pokes her head out. She will come back in her play when Lucy writes a play. But not a lot of these women did come back because they weren't the original or like the continued women in this club.
Later on we'll meet Carolyn Appleby and all Grace Munson and all the other, you know, same club members. But this, it was just like you mentioned, people who can sing. But I love this episode. I could watch this one on repeat just for the songs alone, for the it bounced. For all of it, it's really, really good. So well done.
Yes, this is a really good episode. This is one of those ones that kind of just sneak up on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
it's a pleasant surprise.
And I went, "Oh, it's a pleasant peasant girls."
Happy pleasant girls. Okay, well, we promise we're not going to sing every time, but just when there's music involved. And
yes, when there's music, you can either skip it because you're like, oh, we're going to try to sing, or you can go, oh, I get to hear them try to sing.
Erica's got liquid courage and she thinks she sounds a certain way.
Listen, you haven't sung a whole lot. I need you to sing Lilies of the Valley.
I love the part where she goes, on my arm was just my elbow. Because all the other girls had a guy on their arm and all she had was an elbow. Just so well done. Okay, well, this was fun. Follow us everywhere, and you know our email is havingaballpod@gmail.com. let us know, you know, if there's anybody who's has Lucy information who wants to join. Maybe once in a while we'll have somebody come up and kind of recap an episode with us. Comments, questions, anything like that. We kind of put our little personal blurbs up on Instagram to kind of give you guys an update of who we are and, you know, get to know us a little bit. I saw yours today, Lucy. Let us know what you guys think so far. We are really having a good time and we're hoping, you know, as time goes on, we get, you know, more movie reviews, things like that. But this is fun. So
it is so much fun. So thank you.
Bye.